Hello, and welcome once again to Bradford Hate Crime Alliance's podcast, A Series of Difficult Conversations. Today I'm joined by Richard Padwell, the temporary Bradford District Commander for West Yorkshire Police Force. We talk about the way the police force is tackling hate crime, as well as the work they're doing to build bridges within communities, increasing trust and encouraging people to come forward and report. So without further ado, here's Richard. Well, Richard, thank you so much for joining us today. I'd like to start, if you could, by telling us a little bit about your career, how you've ended up here, and what particular influences you have with regard to the way that hate crime is dealt with across the district.
Right. Cool. That's a tough three-part question. Reminds me of a promotion process, but I'll do my best, and if I miss anything, you'll have to tell me. So, a bit about me. I've worked in Bradford twice in the police, mm-hmm. once just after the Bradford riots when I came over. I'd started in Chapel Town in West Yorkshire as a fire for 5 years. Then I came to work in Bradford, and I worked at basically in Manningham and in Idle, covering as a sergeant on a response team and in custody. I've worked in various other places across West Yorkshire and in London, in the Metropolitan Police for the National Policing Improvement Agency. And then I came back to work in Bradford about just over 3 years ago, mm-hmm. as a superintendent. And as a superintendent, my role is that I am in charge of all the officers who work in local neighbourhood policing teams, in our partnership teams, the officers who carry out engagement with different communities, our hate crime coordinators, which is of course very relevant to this conversation, and then a whole load of other teams and departments. But fundamentally, that's what I've been doing up to a few months ago when I've taken over as the temporary district commander. So at the moment, I'm in charge of policing in Bradford, and we have a total of about 1,300 police officers and staff members covering the whole city, based across all the different police stations across the whole of Bradford District. So I'm really pleased to be back. It's a great place to work, Bradford.
Yeah.
And it's good to be back here. Hate crime has always been something that I have been particularly concerned about and interested mm-hmm. in. It is a priority. It's good to be able to come and talk to you here at the Hate Crime Alliance about various things relating to the investigation of hate crime, how we support people, and what else perhaps we could do even better.
And we're very glad to have you here. Thank you for joining us. So how is West Yorkshire Police tackling hate crime? What is the current strategy
The first thing to say, that hate crime is a priority.
Yes.
Within West Yorkshire Police, we go through a process every year where we look at all the different factors about different types of offences and different types of harms, if you like. Mm-hmm. We take account of all different measures and impacts on communities, and hate crime comes out as one of our top sort of harm causing issues, because not only is it an attack on the individual, mm-hmm. bad enough as that is, but it's an attack on their wider community, on their wider group, whatever their protected characteristics
might
be.
Right. Yeah.
Whether it's whatever their particular background, and I'm not going to list all the protected characteristics, but whatever that might be, it's worse, because you are not just attacking a person or some people, you're attacking mm-hmm. an entire community.
That's right.
And therefore creating fear and concern mm-hmm. across an entire community, which is why it absolutely is a really aggravating factor to whatever offence that might be, whether it's an assault or criminal damage or harassment or abuse, or whatever it might be. The fact that there is an element related to hate crime does aggravate it and does make it even more serious.
Yeah.
We are determined to do something about that. And that's why we have specially trained specific hate crime coordinators. We've just increased our number from 2 to 5, recognising the value and importance of mm-hmm. doing that. Those officers will oversee the investigations of hate crime, will ensure that there is a good proper process in place, that there's learning when we're not doing it right, that we do it better, and that we link in with partners such as the Hate Crime Alliance to make sure that we are ensuring support for the complainers and victims of hate
Yeah,
crime.
yeah.
So there's lots of things for us to do in terms of our response to hate crime.
And it's, yeah, absolutely. You make a really valid point about the wider scope of the impact of hate crime across these communities, but also society as a whole, because when a community is disenfranchised or feels threatened in any way because of what's been happening to somebody within that community, that fragments our society. And we can't work and function as a healthy society while certain communities within our society are being targeted. So
yeah,
it's a really important thing.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I think, you know, I have, when I was previously working in Leeds before I came to Bradford a few years ago, I used to have an active role in attending and supporting the work of the scrutiny panel
yes.
for hate crime relating to LGBTQ plus communities. I'm not as directly involved, but it's within the people that I manage. So I'm very interested in how we do with our scrutiny panels here in Bradford. We also want to speak to communities to get their feedback and their take and to be able to engage with them, which is why we have specific what we call our strategic engagement offices in Bradford for different strands. So we have an officer who specifically works with faith establishments, an officer that specifically works with young community members, another one particularly around female gender groups, another one for new and emerging communities, mental health, and there's probably one I've forgotten, which I'll come to in a moment. But I mean, the point is, yes, we also have an officer that works specifically with faith schools as well. Well as a whole range of schools officers who work in schools, in secondary schools. We have all our neighbourhood policing officers across our different areas. And to be honest, they're all doing versions of the same thing, which is problem solving, engagement and reassurance, and tackling issues which matter. And one of the key issues that matters to communities is hate crime.
It is. It is. And the more people that are aware of that, the better.
Yeah.
Good. So in terms of the work that West Yorkshire Police does with regard to Bradford Hate Crime Alliance, how important are these sort of like cross-organisational communications and relationships, working relationships?
Really, really important, because so what we do is our hate crime coordinators sometimes actually come here.
They do indeed,
And actually based at work from here. Share information directly. We're obviously careful, you know, to share information with consent of individuals. But
indeed.
Where we can help to make referrals, to get support in, and there's a variety of things, which I'm sure you'll be able to talk about in greater detail than me, Fraser, in terms of the Hate Crime Alliance. But we also link in with different partners, be it the local authority, be it housing providers, be it... you know, a whole range of either statutory or voluntary charity organisations who may be able to offer assistance and support. But fundamentally, the role of the police more than anything is to investigate, to support crime, keep the peace.
Yeah.
And, you know, our three key priorities, our policing priorities in West Yorkshire Police are to reduce crime, to offer reassurance to communities and to protect vulnerable people. And all three of those areas are relevant to hate crime and our response to it. So it really is about a professional investigation, making sure that we, first of all, encourage people to report crimes and make it easy for them to do so. Then it's about proper proportionate investigations. And then it's about making sure that we do keep our victims updated, support them, link in with partners, and make sure that they feel part of the process and truly supported and able to sort of take part, hopefully, in positive investigative outcomes, which means ultimately, as appropriate, potentially charging individuals, or it might be cautions or community resolutions or other things that are appropriate to the severity of the situation, taking account victims' wishes as well. So we very much want to be victim-centred but focused on getting suspects.
Absolutely. And I think for the people that are reporting hate crime, it's important for them to recognise that it's not just about The investigation is important, that is, as that is, you do have a wider remit in terms of victim support to be able to signpost elsewhere to refer on, including to ourselves or vice versa. We can often act as a liaison between the victim and between the hate crime coordinators to make sure effective communication takes place. But it's not just about the investigation, but there actually is an aftercare service that's there
Definitely.
that I think is just really important for people
Yeah.
who are potentially victims of hate crime to recognize.
Absolutely. And what we want to do is we do monitor things like what is the rate of positive outcomes to investigations, the number of offences, the number of offences by different types and categories is going up, is it going down? And we also monitor satisfaction levels, which are really important. So when somebody is unfortunately a victim of an offence, we will contact people, or we have a private independent company that makes contact at a certain point. And we'll ask questions about things like how quick did we arrive? What sort of actions did we take at the time? How do we investigate? How well have we kept people updated or not, as the case may be? And what was the outcome to the investigation? And all of those things. And then finally, what was your overall assessment of how satisfied you are with the way the police investigate? And what I'm really pleased about is over the last year or so, that rate of positive satisfaction has gone up by about
Indeed.
12% and has maintained that improvement. And that is positive to me because it demonstrates that my colleagues, the officers and staff members, people in investigative roles, hate crime supporter coordinators and others are actually doing their job and looking to listen and respond to the needs of victims. I mean, I use the term loosely victim because I don't want people to feel victimized, but I
Indeed, yeah.
reflect. So I know it's a moot point in terms of technology. So I'm not making any pejorative statement on that, only the fact that when somebody reports something, we take that seriously and we want to do everything we can to support them, take account of their wishes, but investigate and get that support in place as well.
Yeah, I do agree. It can be quite a controversial word, victim, and a lot of people don't like to be pigeonholed in that way, something that I've discussed in previous podcasts. But it's also important to recognise that there is an impact there, an emotional impact that far exceeds other crimes. That's a proven fact. There's a lot of research that backs that
Absolutely.
up, which is why the law is so designed to for enhanced sentencing, for example, to kind of
Exactly.
reflect that.
Well, there are certain offences which are specific, in that, for example, if I was to carry out a public order offence, or assault, but if it had that aggravating factor of it being a sort of influenced by, shall we say, motivated by racial hatred or even perceived racial or religious hatred, I might think something about you, I might not know, but I make that assumption and therefore that is viewed in the same way. And those offences are actually not just an aggravating factor in terms of extra time for sentence or whatever, they're actually distinct and separate offences, such is the seriousness with which the law treats these types of situations, these offences.
As it should.
Absolutely.
Now, the last time I saw you, Richard, we were at the Bradford Cathedral's opening event for Hate Crime Awareness Week in October of last year.
Yes.
We both gave speeches that night in what was a very moving ceremony service. And you spoke about something that really resonated with me. You talked about the need to avoid a hierarchy of importance with regard to hate crime. I wondered if you could just talk about, because I agree, and I think that sometimes there can be. I think that there is
Yeah.
something of an imbalance in between protected characteristics. So how do we, what does that mean to you, and how do we go about avoiding something like that?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I think the first thing to say is that no matter what the element of hate, it's still hate and it's still impactive for the individual and that community of the person or the people who have been directly impacted. So whether that be around somebody's faith or nationality, for example, their sexual orientation, their disability. I mean, these are all issues and others as well. So again, I'm not again listing absolutely everything, but they all are significant and should all be treated seriously. And there isn't a list of one being more important than the others. It might be that certain types of offences are particularly impacted within a particular community,
yes,
a particular geographical area, and we have to be sensitive to that. So there are particular needs that individuals and communities have. But, for example, some types of offending, I think, are underreported. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
For example, disability.
Hugely,
disability
hugely.
Yeah. Hate crime. So I think it's important to take that into account and to work to try to encourage and support and make the situation the right one to encourage people to feel able to be able to report it. And that might be about the actual means by which they can report it. Some people don't want to report it directly to the police.
Mm-hmm.
Some people don't want to speak to a person face to face. They want to
Indeed.
Report it online, which
yep.
is why I think the hate crime reporting app that is being developed by the Hate Crime Alliance is so useful, because it's a way that anybody can access.
Anybody and can do it anonymously if they want to.
Or
yep.
to a computer, or even to perhaps go to a citizen's advisory
mm-hmm.
room and seek for help if they don't feel comfortable in terms of the technology. But there's also ways to report third-party reporting centres,
yep.
And also, of course, to the police direct, either over the phone, 101 online, which is a way that people
mm-hmm.
can report if they don't want to speak to somebody, or coming into a police station. So the key thing is, if something is absolutely urgent, if somebody's being attacked or there is a crime in motion, then please don't hold back from calling 999 for an
mm-hmm.
urgent, immediate response. If it's not an immediate urgent situation, then please bear in mind that there are lots of different ways of reporting.
That's
things.
Right, that's right.
And we will take all of those reports seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they're anonymous and we don't, you don't want us to come and speak to you, just knowing what has happened
is relevant.
When it's happened is important, because
it
we
is.
Can then task our resources
mm-hmm.
and concentrate on looking at where the problems are the most acute and where we can
yeah.
offer the best health and support and prevention
mm-hmm.
activity along with our different partners.
In those areas and those communities.
Yeah.
And it's one of the things, one of the features that we actually specifically looked at within the app is the Just Log It function, which is about, especially if you're looking at a community like the disabled community, where perhaps they aren't as able to report hate crime due to a variety of different reasons. And if people are witness to that, if people sort of think there might be something going on, then it's the responsibility of the members of the public to report that
yes.
And to kind of stand together and sort of come forward and make sure that
yep.
we are aware that things have been going on. And it can be done anonymously. We don't need to. People don't need to get involved. Things like that, where we can start to gather a picture of evidence with relating to a particular area, for example, or perhaps to a particular community that's being targeted, which, as you say, you can then sort of deploy particular resources to deal with that and investigate further.
Definitely. Yeah. Please don't think that you will demand that you have to provide statements or you have to give even your details. We'd rather know about
exactly
what's happening. Now, ideally, it'd be good if we can identify perpetrators and take action, because we want to stop people and we want people to feel safe
mm-hmm.
To go about their everyday lives and not be persecuted because of or for any reason but in this context for a protected characteristic. We'd always encourage if people are able to feel confident to, but again, that's another reason why we would wish to work with the Hate Crime Alliance, Fix Them Support, other organisations, to be able to offer that support. And, if anything does end up being in court, then there are special measures that could be put in place,
mm-hmm.
like things like people to be able to give their evidence anonymously behind
That's
screens,
right.
And, all sorts of things that could be done these days
mm-hmm.
to take account of the needs of vulnerable witnesses.
Mm-hmm. And it's the awareness of that within the police, but also within ourselves, that to avoid the kind of hierarchy, it's really to try and shine a light among the general public to be more aware of specific communities and how they can best support them. And, using these reporting opportunities that we do provide. So the awareness is absolutely key there. It is.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of ways for people, members of the public, to get involved,
mm-hmm.
volunteer to become a member of scrutiny panel.
Indeed, I sit on one.
Right, excellent. And the basically, that would involve looking in, you know, either in an anonymized form or in a secure and confidential manner, but to be able to see what the situation was, how the police responded, and be able to give critical advice, you know.
It's a wonderful opportunity, and it actually echoing what you said earlier about when you're going out into these communities, I'd urge anybody to take that opportunity to give feedback. If you feel that things should be different, if you feel that things should be improved, then you should put voice to that. Don't just stay silent.
And we don't, police don't always get things right. Certainly nationally and locally as well. We need to take advice and act on it and improve constantly, but improve to do better. And we, you know, we do things like monitor closely what people do say to us in terms of feedback. And we try to improve, to increase the levels of satisfaction.
That's it.
And to get positive outcomes, and ultimately what we want is to reduce the amount of offending. But in the short to medium term, that might mean increased reports, because we do know about the underreporting.
Absolutely.
And if it means, if we get increased confidence and that people are more likely to tell us about things, then of course that's what we would want. So, but ultimately, in the longer term, we would want, of course, fewer, far fewer victims of crime, people impacted, and we would want everyone to tell us about what's happened to them.
And we do. We need that sort of realistic picture. We know that between 60 and 80% of people don't report hate crimes. Statistically, that's been, again, there's so much research to support this. So when you look at the figures that are kind of steady to sort of slowly declining currently, there's a trend to see that they're slowly declining in this area. But then thinking, well, if that's, you know, 60 to 80% of actual hate crimes or incidents are not being reported, we know that the situation is a lot worse than the figures might suggest. So we do need that kind of upswing. We need more people to get involved with reporting, to actually be witness to it. You don't have to be the actual victim yourself. If you're a witness to something in the street, get on the app, get it reported.
Definitely.
So we know. And then, yes, it will spike the figures, but that's a sign that actually then the community is working proactively.
Yeah. Yes, the key thing is to know what's happening, so we can prioritise our response. Doesn't mean anything more important than another.
Yeah.
It just means that where we are finding more problems and situations, if somebody was having an issue at a particular geographical location, well, we can then concentrate our patrols in that area to offer support. If there's issues with a particular person, well, then absolutely we can do what we can to bring that person to justice and to tackle their offending behaviour, because clearly where somebody's offending in one occasion, they're probably or more likely to be offending in others.
Yeah.
And it would be good to stop them, to protect and prevent further offending.
Good. Now, there are a lot of barriers for people to report hate crime, and one of those is some community distrust of the police. So what I'd like to ask is what West Yorkshire Police are actually doing to build the bridges with those communities where historically there may have been some tensions in the past.
Okay, so I think the first thing to say is the Chief Constable has apologised to black communities in West Yorkshire for historical evidence of, well, not just evidence, historical poor policing. When I say poor policing, what we've accepted is that the police has underprotected communities, particularly black communities, over-policed, not fully involved and engaged, and therefore, as a result of all those things and other factors, not being representative of black communities, for example. And I'm picking that because we have a specific, what's called a race action plan.
That's right.
Which relates to how we can work ourselves and in partnership to improve all of those things. So some of those things, we start with engagement, involving. So it's things like our independent advisory group, which again, people can volunteer to take part in. We have a youth independent advisory group in Bradford. We have a women's voices group, which we set up a partnership in the last couple of years. We have the engagement officers, which I referenced, who go out, you know, our faith engagement officer will know 200, 250 different faith establishments in Bradford alone personally, and will have regular, daily contact with them. Not with every single one, but every day we'll be contacting numerous different faith establishments, just by way of example.
Mm-hmm.
We have all our neighbourhood offices, and we have set people a key priority about going out and engaging with and understanding what the concerns and issues are. And then it's about doing what we can to protect communities and actually offer that level of protection. Now, absolutely, hate crime is a key example, because there are certain offences that impact on some communities more than others. So
yes,
clearly, hate crime is one of the offences where if you're black or you're Asian or you're gay or whatever your particular protected characteristic, you are more likely to be a victim of hate crime.
That's correct.
Than if you are not
mm-hmm.
of any protected characteristic, which means that to properly support and protect those particular communities, it's important to do a really good job in dealing with hate crime and preventing
mm-hmm.
it, in
mm-hmm.
investigating it effectively, which is relates us back to all the discussions we've been having so far during this conversation, Fraser, because it's absolutely right that we prioritise it in terms of resources, in terms of plans and action, and the quality of our investigation, and therefore the outcomes we're getting in terms
mm-hmm.
of things like satisfaction, which we've talked
yeah.
about a few times
yeah.
already. So, and then I suppose the other part of it is making sure that we actually demonstrate respect for the way in which we police
mm-hmm.
communities. Because if a community does not feel supported and respected, then members of that community are less likely to report offences to the police, are less
Correct.
Likely to come forward, which means we'll be less representative and less effective.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, one of the things we've been doing in Bradford is very interesting. Pilot with Professor Jeff Gold from who lives within the district but is works through Leeds Beckett University, and he's a bit of an expert in action learning and also has been doing a lot of work around procedural justice. And if you'll allow me one moment just to explain that.
Mm-hmm.
Procedural justice is essentially the theory, which I think there's real research to demonstrate actually is correct theory, that if people are treated with respect, if people are treated in a way that they're given a chance to have their say and be heard, have a voice, if they are treated in a way that demonstrates the neutrality and impartiality of the police, then overall they are far more likely to have increased and higher levels of trust.
Mm.
And that's particularly those communities who have had lower levels to start with.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
it's a really key thing. And we have been teaching groups of officers the different elements of procedural justice, and they've been going out and putting those into effect
mm-hmm.
in their day-to-day interactions with individuals, and therefore keeping learning logs, and have been keeping a record of the level of trust that they perceive before and after interactions. And the indication from the evaluation is that it does have a positive impact on levels of trust. So we're in the process of trying to get funding to expand that, and in particular, concentrating on our officers who are more likely to be involved in direct confrontation with
mm-hmm.
people. We have a team called our Operation Gemlock team that deals with searching individuals who might be carrying knives. So it's very important that those people carry out those searches. We know stop searches are an area where we have traditionally had disproportionate numbers of stop searches based on communities and backgrounds, not perhaps, hopefully not intentionally, but as a byproduct. And therefore, it's really important that we not only analyse how we're carrying out searches, why, but that we also ensure that those interactions are done in the most appropriate and respectful
yeah.
way. So we'll also be looking to spread that into particularly where we are policing communities that have a higher proportion of members of the black population, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's about accepting and understanding the historical context and doing something about it, seeing it as a priority to improve that level of trust, support, protection, to ensure that people do feel able to come and report things to us and
that's
tell us
it.
About it.
Yeah.
So sorry, it was quite a long answer, but I think
no,
it's
no,
important
but
to go through it.
Absolutely, because actually it's a really worthwhile
pilot, as you said. You can see the impact that that's going to have. And I think what it's really important to remember is that we need the police force. We do. We can't just dismiss it as if to say, well, historically nothing was ever done, or my friend so and so, they had a really bad experience, so therefore I'm not going to bother. We need the police, and you need to recognize that we all make mistakes. We all have to go through a learning process. We all have areas and room for improvement. Every organization does, every human being does. That's the whole purpose of it. So the fact that the police are being so transparent with regard to owning that and have clearly mapped out how they're going to improve things, I think should give people confidence. And I think people do need to keep coming forward
Thanks.
and not just giving up, because there isn't, without the police, there's no real alternative.
Well, I hope that we are making progress in terms of making West Yorkshire Police a more representative of the different communities. We've had perhaps the greater success from some of our Asian communities, I would say. So there's still some more work in particular to be done with black communities in West Yorkshire and individuals of a black background. But I think there's always more to do because I think it's really critical that we are representative. Because, first of all, why would we want to miss out on all that talent from all across different communities? But that understanding and lived experience, and then there's the trust and confidence which comes, I think, from being able to look at something and saying, do you know what? That looks and feels like the communities of West Yorkshire. And therefore, people just have that greater sense of trust in what is a broader, more representative, diverse organisation.
To close, I was going to ask you about one of the things that we do here that we put a lot of importance by is education and awareness. It's terrifying how many people don't really understand what hate crime is, how to report it, whether they're even a victim of hate crime. How important is education and awareness within our wider communities, within our schools, within the workplace, all these different areas? How important is that, and what can we do as an organisation like yourselves or us all collaboratively to really enforce that awareness and really get this into public consciousness in a way that it's currently not? And I do wonder if some of that is to do with, I've spoken about this before. If you kind of Google or just go on Twitter or something like that and look at hate crime, there's a lot of misuse of the term. And also, there's a lot of weaponization of hate crime politically in the media that I think just gets in the way of the conversations that we need to be having around this. And it clouds people's judgment, perhaps, and it, can cause confusion. So if I can put that to you, what do we need to do?
So I agree with you about education, and the police are involved in that in a number of ways. So, for example, we do have neighbourhood officers, PCSOs. We have officers in schools who give inputs. We have lesson plans that have been developed in partnership. There's been a very exciting development in the last few years in West Yorkshire, something called Poll Ed,
Paul Ed, yeah.
which you've obviously heard of, which is brilliant, which essentially some former teachers who are now police officers had the idea that actually the police could help by putting together lesson plans which are based around all the issues that we find that we're talking about, things like hate crime, but also other things around safety and citizenship,
Of course.
and almost essentially a syllabus from age 6 to 16. And rather than it just being police officers going into schools to teach something, and police officers aren't all trained to be teachers or tutors or trainers, but essentially we create the or support the creation of the content, which is by trained teachers and police officers coming together, and sometimes it's the same person. We create content and then share it with schools. Now in West Yorkshire, every school, primary and secondary, has ability to access all of this information, these lesson plans, for free. We are looking to spread it now across the country, and obviously there may be some costs involved in that, but we've got something like 80 to 85% of schools in West Yorkshire who've now signed up, which is brilliant, and using it to varying degrees, but we're starting to monitor how much it's being used. We have employed a deputy head teacher to work for Paul Ed and lead it within our force. So we've got that real professional support, and we're doing everything we can to encourage our local schools to take that on board. But we also go and give talks in different settings. I personally have given talks to different groups, different faith groups. You've mentioned about the Hate Crime Awareness Week at the cathedral, but there's also a range of other activities that we do. And I think it's incumbent upon all of us to share the message, to demonstrate that we collectively are not going to accept hate crime, that we will fight it, we'll tackle it, we'll support those who are subject to it, and hopefully get to a position where, you know, in our lifetime, where it is, let's hope, vanishingly rare. It's such an unnecessary thing, and I think education, as well as enforcement, is certainly something that the police would be involved in. With our partners. So it's great that you've given me the opportunity to come here today to talk to you, Fraser, and talk through some of the things we are doing. But always interested for people to get involved in our scrutiny panels, in our engagement groups that we talked about, or when contacted, unfortunately having been a subject to a hate crime, but just tell us what you actually think, so we can take on board that feedback, try and improve, and continually improve the way in which we investigate and support those victims of hate crime.
Yeah, I couldn't have put it better myself. If this is a collective responsibility, it's not just somebody else's problem. If we want to live in an equitable and diverse but integrated society where we all get along and everybody, you know, just lets everybody else just live their life, we have to take responsibility for this. We have to call it out. We have to report and get the funding that we need to really tackle this, you know, with better data, with more accurate data. All of those things start to become a reality, a possibility. But as things stand currently, it's hard. It's very difficult to kind of like climb that mountain. Yeah. But everything that we've talked about today shows that the West Yorkshire Police is really taking this very, very seriously and has all of the right concerns in the right place. So thank you so much for joining us today,
thank
Richard.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak to you today, Fraser. And you know, I hope we continually improve in this really key area.
Absolutely. Thank you. Well, I'd like to thank Richard once again for joining us today. And if you do have any questions about this podcast or anything else relating to hate crime, then please do get in touch. You can email us on information@bradfordhatecrimealliance.org.uk. That's information@bradfordhatecrimealliance.org.uk. There's also a wealth of information on our website, www.bradfordhatecrimealliance.com, or indeed you can call us on 0800 169 1664. That's 0800 169 1664. Until next time, take care.